Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. We started this podcast because we believe that it isn't necessarily the rich, powerful, or well-known who are making the waves in this world. It's the moms. It's the women tending to their toddlers while launching international nonprofits or caring for babies and creating art. It's the women who believe in both their mother self and their other self, and who are nourishing both as those around them stand back in admiration for the way they strive through life. We know this to be true. It's the hand that rocks the cradle that rules the world. Join the Mama Bear community, where we support and encourage women doing big and bold things with their lives, in addition to being great moms, and dare you to harness the power of your Mama Bear to live a life of love and compassion. Hey, Mama Bear community, we are Leslie and Tessie, your hosts of the Mama Bear Dares podcast, and we are sisters. Today, we're digging into a few different areas with our Mama Bear Mini, our midweek podcast. We're going to talk about a few of our current favorites. We're also going to talk a little bit about nutrition and how to keep your family healthy as we enter allergy season. And hopefully we'll be able to dive into a conversation about a really great article that we came across about raising daring girls and young women. What do you think, Tessie? Should we get down to business?
Yes, let's do it. Okay, Mama Bears, Leslie and I are actually probably a little too excited about our first segment. We've been playing around with the idea of creating segments specifically for our Mama Bear Minis that will be kind of themes running through the show. So the first segment is going to be called The Obsess Sesh.
I am obsessed with the Obsess Sesh, sister.
I know. So we are going to give you three things that are currently making us obsessed. So, Leslie, you start.
Okay. So, besides the podcast, right?
Because I am going to be number one the every time.
Okay. So currently, I am obsessed with our kitchen couch. We live in an old home, a 100-year-old house, actually, and over the holidays, our oven broke, which just spiraled into a bunch of different improvements and dreams for our kitchen. We did replace our oven, but that's as far as we went. I guess I started a Pinterest board, also started pinning like dreams for my kitchen, and realized, like, holy cow, kitchen renovation is so expensive.
So expensive.
It is. And so we kind of put some of the, well, I did collect some estimates actually, but we kind of put some of those dreams on hold a little bit. When I realized, after going back through my Pinterest board, what all I really wanted was a couch in my kitchen. I didn't need to knock down walls. I didn't need
granite countertops.
Hey, I don't need any of that stuff. But what I felt like I really needed was a couch in the kitchen. And so we moved a love seat into our kitchen, which is not, it's not a huge kitchen.
It's not a big kitchen.
A couch really has no place in our kitchen. I am obsessed with it.
Mama Bears, just so you get an idea, we were going to record this session, and she always records from said kitchen couch, and the like connection was a little off, so I encouraged her to try a new place, and she was not happy about getting off that kitchen couch.
I am never happy about getting off the kitchen couch. It has become my command center, my really comfy command center. So I love it. The kids love it. Jake is waiting for the phase to be over, I think, if we're honest, because he's great. He loves to cook and he's
great in the kitchen, but it's far too comfortable for me to just sit and watch him cook, probably. I think he's on to me a little bit. So, but anyway, I love the kitchen couch, and I would say I am obsessed, yeah, for sure. So that's my number one lately, okay, my number one obsession. I also recently picked up Rob Bell's latest book, which is called How to Be Here. And I've been a Rob Bell fan for quite a while, since he put out his first book, Velvet Elvis. Mm-hmm. I appreciate his kind of curiosity and his spirituality. And I like this book. I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with the book, but I am obsessed with one of the ideas that he puts forth in the book. And it's about kind of our tendency sometimes to define ourselves by what we're not, and how much more interesting it is when we define ourselves as what we are. So I really like this idea, and I'm thinking, you know, a lot of times when we're making decisions or we're thinking about our day, we're just like, oh, I'm not organized enough for that. Well, that's not very interesting. That's not going to be an interesting day. Or like, oh, I could do that, but I'm not educated enough on that, or I'm not, you know, and even in terms of like conversations, and I even think about dinner parties, how I'll be chatting with new people or friends, and rather than saying, hey, I'm doing this, which is interesting, right? Like, I'm always happy to hear what someone is doing.
Yeah.
Rather than me saying, well, I'm not doing this, but I'm getting, you know, I'm doing this. So just defining ourselves by what we're actually doing is so much more interesting than defining ourselves by what we're not doing. So that's just sort of a nugget from that book that I've sort of been obsessing over and analyzing and thinking about and seeing how it plays in my day.
Yeah, I love that. And the title is How to Be Here. Is that
right?
Yeah, and what a great title, too. I mean, I think there's a movement in the world trying to train us to be here, wherever here is, in this moment and in this time, which I think is really, really hard, but also vital to our health, our mental health, our spiritual health, everything.
Yeah, I love this tone that this whole book is taking, of just that present moment, what you are now. Mm-hmm. It might be very different than what you were 10 years ago. It's going to change in the future. But right now, look at what you're doing and embrace that. Or look at, not even, you don't even have to be doing, but just the spiritual place you find yourself. I really love that. And then finally, I'm so excited about this. I just discovered a restaurant that we can walk to in our neighborhood. No. Yeah, it's so great. So we, you know, when we lived in Chicago, we walked to dinner probably 3 or 4 nights out of the week. Just good food was everywhere. And now we live in a residential area, and there's just not a lot of places that, you know, you can walk to. And I've always kind of fought against that sort of suburban mentality of having to jump in your car to do everything.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, you don't live in suburbia. It's just Davenport is a smaller place than Chicago, so the offerings are more limited, but you live in the center of Davenport. So
Yeah, that's true. We do. We live in like this city, the central part of our city. So it's, you know, an older neighborhood. It doesn't really look like the suburban sprawl where we're at. But there's not a lot of places to walk. We still have to get in the car. I mean, the kids can walk home from school. And actually we could walk to the hospital. We've walked to the emergency room before.
We're going to tell that story about Eli at some point, because you were just amazing.
Oh man, my mama bear was hot to trot.
It was hot to trot, and maybe just on this side of insane.
Maybe. Well, now I feel like we have to tell the story.
Too, because now I'm thinking even more of it. So Mama Bears, when my family goes back to Iowa to visit, we stay with my sister, her husband, and my little nephew. And often we just trade kids with Jake and Leslie. Some stay at Jake and Leslie's and some stay at my sister's with us. And in my sister's basement is a weight rack. All the kids were playing, and at some point, Dayla comes running up telling me that Eli's head is bleeding profusely. So he comes up, and it's clear when I look at his head that he is going to need stitches. Now, Leslie is a lot of things, but one of them that makes her just a little anxious would be blood and or, you know, seeing parts of skin that should not be shown. So I tried to be as calm as possible when relaying the news that, in fact, Eli would need to be going to the ER to get some stitches. It didn't work out that way. There was no calm reception.
There was no calm. There was no calm. And actually, this segues maybe into what we will eventually talk about, this article about fearlessness.
Yes, yes.
And I have never had a stitch in my life. I have never broken a bone. So parenting has been challenging in some of those ways that, you know, you're forced into these situations. I'm a pretty careful person.
It's
my
true.
Children are not, no, really.
And especially so Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys pulled up in the van.
I could just tell driving up, like, the whole energy of the entire block changed. It hit us like a force field. And Jake was there. He had his hands behind his back. He was cool and collected, and you were not. But I got to tell my favorite part. So we pull up, and the car had not actually stopped yet. And Eli hadn't cried the whole time, but he saw you and started bawling. No. And you pick up this child who is close to at least 85 pounds, right?
I think he's like 65 pounds.
Oh, is he?
He weighs in at.
Okay.
Which I think, or maybe that's what Cinta weighs. Maybe he does weigh 80 pounds. I don't know. I'm never good at those numbers.
I know. So either way, he's far too big to be carried the way you were carrying.
Well, I did. I just felt like I had to carry my son to the emergency room. Like, it made sense for me to take him, remove him from a car that could have gotten him there. And I mean, it's like three blocks away.
It's like three or four blocks. But I think Jake thought maybe you would just hop in our car and I would drive you, which was also my plan. So Jake's standing there like, Leslie, should we just hop in the car? And you're gone. You're halfway down the block carrying this child that's roughly the size of you.
I know.
And you're carrying him in the most awkward position possible.
Yeah, and it was about halfway down the block moment that I realized that I was like, I can't carry him one step further.
You had
a terrible idea.
You had overestimated the size of your mama bear.
So, yeah. So, my neighborhood, yes, I can walk to the emergency room when necessary.
I can also
probably do it faster in a car, but... So anyway, this restaurant opened up near our house about a year ago, and it's in a place where there's been a string of not great restaurants, and so it took me a while to try it, but it's kind of our new thing. Like, we'll walk there, we'll grab some tacos, we'll maybe sit and eat, and then come home. So it's great. I'm obsessed. If
That's
you ask
exciting.
Jake, I want to eat there every single night. So we're really excited about Los Primos and just the vibe of the place. It's very neighborhood feeling. We often see like teachers from the kids' school, or we see other families that we know from the neighborhood. So it's all the good things. I love it. I'm obsessed. How about you, Tessie? What are you thinking about these days?
Mine are not nearly as interesting, but we've established before that I do get, like, great joy out of really small, silly things.
True.
So My first one is my new debit card.
What?
Hello. You know, there's just something about it. We bank with US Bank and the design is cool and it feels so smooth and I can read the back numbers. It's just all very exciting. So
that's important.
It's important, you know, you want to feel good about it.
How long have you been carrying
this? Yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. So it's new. It's new and exciting.
I actually have not used it yet.
Is there a picture, like, you know, sometimes you can get, like, Chicago Bears or something like that?
No.
Okay.
We're firm believers in not paying any extra for things like that, so no. It's just sleek and amazing. My second one I am a little more excited about. So I have a friend in Portland, and she just randomly sent me a coupon code for a friends and family discount from like Mountain Hardware or all these really outdoor great companies.
Okay.
And it's kind of rainy and gross here in Michigan. And so, of course, I don't have a rain jacket. Or not a good enough one. And I looked online and the code was for like 60% off.
Nice.
So I know. I was so excited. So I got a really, really nice rain jacket for, again, 60% off. And have worn it every day since. Even though it snowed yesterday, still had my rain jacket.
That's all right. I'm sorry about the snow. That's super depressing.
It is so depressing.
But we rock the rain jacket.
Thank you.
I used to love rain jackets. When I was a kid, they make such cute rain jackets for kids. So I think I would draw some pleasure from a cute rain jacket. They're practical.
Yeah.
They're a little special.
This one is not necessarily cute. It's just black, but it's really high quality. And there is something to be said for wearing a high quality item. You just feel luxurious, even though it's a rain jacket and it swishes when you walk.
You feel like you've got a brand new debit card in your pocket.
Exactly. Like, imagine my swag and my sway when I'm rocking my rain jacket and my new debit card. Forget about it. And my third thing I'm also carrying with me, it's this Yeti water mug. And you might have seen it when I was back, but... Have you heard of this company, Yeti? Do you know anything about them?
Just what Zach was talking about. Are they same ones that do the coolers?
Yeah, they do these really, and again, they're high-end. So super high-end coolers. These coolers are meant for like fishermen who sit on the coolers. They're virtually indestructible. They're also many hundreds of dollars, but they're water cups. So we've had, of course, because it's Zach and me, we love challenges. So when there was more snow on the ground, he like put snow in his Yeti mug and it stayed for 9 hours or something into snow, not just cold water. It was insane.
Now, that is crazy. And I could not have that in my house because you know how I feel about water bottles and the management. Like, that would have a 2-second life in our house and then it would be lost forever.
Well, that's true. You don't want to buy your children Yeti mugs. Number one, they are expensive. Number two, they are not leak proof. So these are adults only kind of situations. But I always fill up my water mug before I go to bed, just in case I get thirsty in the middle of the night. And the ice is still there in the morning. I mean, it's pretty legit.
Yeah. So like for camping or for the summer, that's going to be awesome.
Exactly. And even when we were in Punta Cana, I brought it. And it was crazy how long my delicious beverages stayed ice cold in my Yeti mug. So
the perfect margarita mama carrier.
Exactly.
<That's> Well, okay, so that kind of transitions into talking about health, because I know how much water you drink, mm-hmm. and I am trying to drink so much water this Good. Winter because my skin is just so, so dry.
Yeah.
And so I know that I constantly need to be hydrating myself. So let's talk a little bit about health. Tessie, you are in the health industry. I know you keep up on a lot of new and awesome ideas. So why don't you drop some knowledge?
All right. Well, I thought about this topic, allergies specifically, because I was talking to someone this past weekend about how terrible his allergies are, and one of my nephews is really bad. So a lot of people are just kind of popping the Zyrtex and the Benadryls, whatever can get them through the season, right? But the more I've kind of become knowledgeable about a holistic approach to common illnesses, the bigger fan I am of those type of ways as opposed to, you know, taking a little pill every day. I think our bodies are capable of fighting off way more than we give them credit for. So I thought I'd just talk a little bit about how to deal with allergies in a more holistic way if you are not interested in kind of taking a daily Zyrtec or something like that. And Leslie, do you deal with allergies? I know you sneezed earlier in our recording.
I did. You know, it's interesting. When I was growing up, I had horrible, just seasonal allergies. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a farming community, and this was such a big deal because it was, you know, times I was outside, like literally on the farm, just my eyes were like just red constantly and itchy. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to detassel. A lot of my friends had to detassel in the summer. That was like their summer job. But my mom was like, free pass. You would not survive that. So that was one, like the only
benefit
advantage I can think of.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually used to deal pretty badly with allergies. And then I started reading more about them because I was kind of one of those daily Zyrtec users. So as you know, and I think I've mentioned on the podcast and we'll explore later, but our family about a year ago went full plant-based. Mm-hmm. And I've had zero problems with allergies since then. And it turns out one of the main reasons why is that dairy does act as an inflammatory in the body. That's proven. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's a direct link with allergies and dairy. It just means that dairy does, in fact, inflame your body. So if you're struggling with allergies, you don't necessarily need to go full plant-based, but maybe cut back a little on the dairy you consume because it actually can cause the blood vessels in your nose to swell and make you more congested. And obviously, if you're already dealing with congested issues, that would just not be a good thing. So maybe just try to not have dairy for breakfast and lunch and see about dinner then, you know, including dairy in your diet if that works for you. Some other food items that have been shown to kind of exacerbate allergy symptoms are things like melons, cucumbers, or chamomile, which is just really interesting to me, but maybe try to stay away from those as well. We're built so different depending on what you're actually allergic to. Some of this might not apply, but those are triggers to the body, I guess I'll say. So maybe try cutting back on those and see if it helps. I'm like you. I like giving people what they could do as opposed to what they shouldn't do. So one of my favorite things to do is the neti pot. Have you done this, Leslie?
No, I have not. Okay. Although I did just get a diffuser.
Oh, yeah.
So
good.
You can tell me if it's like the same sort of thing.
Yeah. No. So the neti pot is this, I mean, I would recommend a ceramic pot. It's a little ceramic teapot, essentially, is what it looks like. You fill it with distilled water, not your tap water, distilled water, and about an eighth of a teaspoon of salt, just a little shake. Stir it up, and then you put the teapot spout to one nostril and kind of tilt over. It goes in one nostril and out the other. And then you do it to the other nostril as well. I always do this when I'm starting to feel kind of a cold come on. I have the kids do this when they're starting to feel a cold come on. So if you're in the thick of allergy season, do that a few times a day, and I guarantee it'll relieve the symptoms. It won't necessarily make you non-allergic or any of that. It'll just relieve some of the symptoms.
Is that the thing where you put like a towel over your head and you kind of create a tent, or is that something different?
No, that's something different, but it would work as well. I mean, all of that is just working to kind of, especially that can get rid of some of the sinus headache. But no, the neti pot, I'll show you a video, and we'll link to information in the show notes, because it can get confusing when you see it, and it's a little daunting when you're about to put a tea spout to your nostril. So we'll link to some information on the neti pot. Sure. So the other thing I totally recommend is chiropractic and acupuncture. Those two have actually been proven as well to help. They get your body functioning at its highest level, which allows your body to fight off anything it comes into contact with more efficiently. So acupuncture sounds really scary. They just put tiny little needles. You really genuinely don't even feel them go in. Usually I'm closing my eyes and she does it, and then she leaves the room. It's really, really relaxing. And chiropractic, for those, that's another one that people get pretty nervous about, but I cannot say enough how much healthier I stay in allergy season and all year round when I am being adjusted on a regular basis. So try that, Mama Bears. Even if you're a little intimidated, go to a really good chiropractor, ask friends, ask family members. You'll be surprised at how many people are going.
Yeah, and if you have the time, you know, and sort of the interest, just making all of those things kind of part of your basic health routine, health and wellness routine.
So if you're in the Des Moines area, I have to do it, you guys. I have to give a shout out to Dawson Chiropractic. Full disclosure, he is my brother. But I've been to many chiropractors throughout Iowa and in Michigan, and I can tell you my brother knows the body, and he's just really, really good at what he does. So he's in Altoona, Iowa. If you're anywhere near that, look up Dawson Chiropractic, and you will be so thankful you did.
Hey, Marcus!
So this next one, Leslie, I don't know why it's so hard for me, but wash your dang sheets. But why is it so hard to remember to do that, especially for my kids? But, like, wash your sheets.
Wash your sheets. I don't know. I mean, how often? Like, when you say wash your sheets, are you, like, once a week? Or
So in allergy season, you need to pick it up to once a week, especially if your kids deal with allergies pretty heavily. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, in non-allergy season, but wanting to care for it, it is every 2 weeks is what they recommend. Okay. Do you do that well?
No.
Okay. Hallelujah!
Sharing the dirty laundry. It's what we do. No, in fact, I think we only have one set of sheets for our bed. And so, you know, when I think to do it, it has to be like the perfect time where I'm actually home all day or something to like make this production happen. So, yeah, we don't do that enough.
Okay, but Mama Bears, take it from me, this is what I had to do, and it's worked really well. I actually put it on my phone as a reminder, or not even a reminder, as a thing on my calendar. So every 2 weeks, I have something on my calendar that says wash the sheets, and it's in the morning, so I do it while the kids are getting up and going for school, and then I usually am able to move it to the dryer, you know, after I work in the morning before I start work in the afternoon. So check that out.
Okay, well, can I just interject that I think because we're trying to do segments, We need to have a segment called Wash Those Sheets with Mama Bear Dares. And it can be about health, and we'll call it Wash Those Sheets, Mama Bears. Wash Those Sheets.
And it will include a rap battle between me and you. Wash the sheets. Wash the sheets. No, no.
I love
oh,
it.
Boy.
I love it.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
All right, next, we also struggle with this. I blame the children, but I often do the same. Don't let shoes come into your house. Have a specific designated place, and that's where they stay. They do not come in, not to go to the bathroom, no reason, because they drag in all the dust, pollen, ragweed, all of that stuff from outside that can make those allergies go crazy.
At first, I thought you were going to say, don't let the children come in the house.
Well, sometimes that's also necessary.
I mean, I know you're all about the no-nonsense parenting, but no, it's the shoes. We actually tried to do that, too.
You guys are really good at that.
Yeah, I read that a long time ago about just bringing stuff into the house. So we don't make guests do that, you know?
No, I mean, right. Yeah, I need to get better at that because Tristan does deal with some allergies and I can tell they're getting worse and my kids are just really terrible at taking their shoes off. We don't have a phenomenal place to put them, so I think that's why, but we're working on it. Next. This one's fun. Add a little spice to your life. Spicy foods help clear nasal passages and just taste pretty great too. We love, when we were in Ethiopia in November, our driver Solomon took us to a fish market in Awasa. I don't know what all's in it, but it's super spicy. But I add maybe a teaspoon to a lot of my crockpot soups and things like that. And it
so
just really helps.
You brought it back with you? Is that
we did.
Okay.
Yeah, we brought it back with us. But really just, I mean, chili powder, any of those kind of spices will really help. A lot of the great Indian spices, Ethiopian spices, just help clear that as well. But also onion and garlic, they have really great healing properties in them naturally. So I put that in everything if I can hear my kids coming down with a cold or struggling with allergies.
And a tip with the garlic is if you are using mincing garlic or doing anything with your garlic, you should unpeel it and put it on your cutting board early on in your meal prep, because then those properties, the healing properties, the good things kind of have time to release before you use it in your dish.
I love that. So usually I kind of like cut off the sides and then squish it so that the peel comes off. Is that okay, or should I just leave it whole?
No, that's fine. You can do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Finally, water. We talked about it in the beginning, but honestly, push the water whenever you feel like allergies are taking over your life or you're getting that cold. You need to just double down on the water. So find a mug that you like, whether it's the Yeti or not, and just keep it continuously filled throughout the day.
Yep, that's great advice. Drink that water.
Yeah, so good luck on all of those allergies. If you have any questions about it, of course, hit us up on our email or social media.
Right. And, you know, although, Tessie, you are a health professional, of course, we're not doctors.
No, or nutritionists.
So, we're not nutritionists, but I love the idea of being old wives. We
exactly.
are old wives.
We're old wives with a side of hippie that just make it the perfect combination.
That's right. So our collective wisdom is what we're offering you.
Yes.
So,
yeah, good luck and don't sue us. All right, Leslie, break down the last segment.
So our next segment is called We Read It, We Loved It, Let's Discuss.
Yes.
We came across an article recently by Katie Arnold, and she is writing for Outside Magazine, and her contribution was called 10 Ways to Raise Brave Girls. And it piqued our interest because we, of course, are raising girls, as are many of you, and because we are women and we want to try to be brave in this world. Mm-hmm. So she kind of picks up 10 points from a book that she had read called The Gutsy Girl, Escapades for Your Life of Epic Adventure, and that is actually written by Carolyn Paul. And she's 52 years old now, but she spent her career as the first female firefighter in San Francisco. She joined the fire squad in 1989. So I love just that idea that she's kind of written this memoir / how-to on being brave and teaching our girls to be brave.
Yeah, from real life experience. Like, if you're the first firefighter in a male-dominated culture and job, that's some real life experience on being brave.
Yes, it certainly is. So she has 10 points that she discusses in the article, and I thought we could pull out a few that really resonated mm-hmm. with us. So the first one that she writes about is to just take stock of your own attitude. So I think what she means by this is just look at the way that you talk to your girls, that you interact with them compared to the way that you might talk to a son or a nephew.
Right.
Is there a difference in how you're approaching this person? Are you assuming that the girl is going to be less brave or less daring than their male counterpart? Just be really honest with yourself about that attitude and how you really do interact with these young females as compared to the young males that you might influence.
Yeah, and the reality is you probably do have prejudices because we all grew up as little girls who heard that, so you are ingrained with some prejudices. So it's actually probably more about assuming you have it and then just becoming aware of the situations mm-hmm. that you kind of allow the prejudices to take over almost common sense. I mean, our girls are capable of what our boys are doing. So it right. is like about acknowledging that everybody has these.
Yes. Our next kind of point that she makes and that I think is really fantastic is just to practice bravery. She quotes Eleanor Roosevelt as famously saying, "Do something every day that scares you." And I just love that. I love that for myself. I love that for, you know, encouraging my daughter. Sometimes that might look like just sort of embracing the ant that's crawling across your right. floor or whatever. Like, not, you know, I'm not going to freak out about a bug. I might actually look at it and sort of explore it. You know, that's just a really small example. But I like that idea of just practicing that bravery. And then she talks about putting language to it.
Yeah.
So she encourages us to name that bravery, to look at your daughter when they do something, you know, that surprises you or that you think is pretty cool, and just say, "Man, that was really brave. I loved seeing you do that." Because putting that word to that action can be really monumental for them and can really form how they think about themselves in terms of being a brave person.
I also loved that one of her points was talking about fear, that it's okay to be scared. But also, what else are you feeling? Sometimes we're also excited. We're also anticipating something. But if you just allow your daughters or even you to lump everything into fear, we don't have that ability to differentiate, "Oh, I'm actually nervous but also excited, but also, you know, we're a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think encouraging, I thought of this with Dayla because she's in softball and they just started kids pitch. So she's overwhelmed with how nervous she is. And so on the way yesterday to batting practice, she was just like, I can't do it, Mom. I don't like that it's a little girl and it's not the pitching machine. And I was like, but what else are you feeling? I know you're scared, but what else are you feeling? And she's like, well, I'm actually kind of excited to see if I can do it. I'm also really nervous. You know, she was able to label 5 different emotions. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is so interesting to be able to see what you thought you were just afraid of. You actually were all of these other things too. And some of those are not scary at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I make friends with those butterflies.
Yeah.
Tummy. Sometimes when you feel those, that's the excitement that you need to just grab and memorize and, you know, remember, like, ooh, when I do this, I feel exhilarated.
Yeah.
There might be some fear also, but like you can unpack all of those emotions and just move forward.
For sure.
That kind of relates to another point that I thought was good. The author talks about just in the face of doing something brave, how it doesn't have to be one giant step, that you can actually just break down what seems like a daunting task and just find step one and then find step two. And then find step three. I mean, it's great for us to remember as adults, but then also to teach our daughters and sons, you know, if their interest is piqued and they want to go for something that seems really huge, just help them break it down into steps that are less daunting.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure you will not be surprised by perhaps my favorite when she talks about giving them a long leash, specifically girls. And I've heard from friends, oh, I let my sons go to the bathroom, but I don't let my daughter because XYZ. But it's so important. And I'm a huge fan of the long leash, figuratively speaking, that allows our kids time to explore. Because when I'm not involved, when I kind of make them go outside, Dayla is doing the exact same things her brothers are. And sometimes I have to turn my head at all of them. You know, when they're really high up into that tree, kind of got to turn my back and just not think about the fear that's in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I love seeing it. She really does not see herself any differently than they see her when I get out of her way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that too. And I love how that leash is not only physical as far as giving them the geographical reach that they might need to explore, you know, whether it's like defining the boundaries of your neighborhood or how far are they allowed to roam, but also just giving them the time. And that is something I think so many of us struggle with, is just feeling like, well, gosh, this kid is in this and this and this activity. Like, I feel like my kid should be too. Or what if they're not getting, you know, the right start because I'm not putting them into this sort of lesson.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's such a personal choice for every family. If your kid loves soccer, by all means, encourage that love of soccer.
Yeah.
But if your kid shows no interest and you just feel like they should be in soccer because all of their friends are, you might want to reevaluate just what they're missing by being at that practice.
Mm-hmm.
That time to create and that free space to do, you know, just to follow any interest that they have it's such a gift. And it's also part of that long leash of parenting.
And, you know, I love that she also said we need to be able to train our daughters and sons to understand what's kind of the healthy fear Mm-hmm. When your body and your mind and your gut is saying, no, 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 this is reckless. Mm-hmm. The difference between that and then just being a little nervous to take a step towards a healthy outcome or something right. that's kind of not healthy or unhealthy, just neutral. And yeah. I like that idea too, because that's kind of a hard thing to understand. So we really have to kind of tune in to figure that out.
Yeah. And every kid is so different. Mm-hmm. I remember I taught swimming lessons when I was in high school, and I'll never forget this. Probably, I don't know if he was like 4 years old. He didn't know how to swim. He was there to learn how to swim. But just like some kids were so afraid to step into the water, this kid like came running across the deck and like literally cannonballed in on his first lesson. Gosh. I just, you know, he had no sense of danger, really. Right. And so it was something that, you know, you recognize that and you coach that particular child in the yes. ways that they need to be helped. Yes. And of course, I think the final point that I absolutely loved was just that I want my boys to see my girl just rock this world. Yes. I want them to witness girls and women who are doing incredible things mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. And I think you have to name it, like the whole thing with the women's soccer team now demanding fair pay is just so exciting. We are with you, women's yes. soccer. Mama Bear Dares is with you. My husband brought it up one morning, and I made sure to continue the conversation when the kids got home. And I just, to all of them, all four boys and then Dayla, was just like, can you imagine how brave it is to be in this world and say, like, no, we demand this, right? And mm-hmm. actually, the Today Show was interviewing her, and I thought this was so interesting, but Hope Solo specifically was being looked at by Matt Lauer, and Matt tried to switch the conversation to whether or not they would go to the Olympics with the Zika virus happening. And she was like, hey, Matt, that's an important topic, but right now we're talking about the fact that we need to be paid as much mm-hmm. as men. And it was like, slow clap. Hope Solo, yes. that was awesome. Don't change the subject. Right?
Absolutely.
So naming, hey, man, that was so brave on national public television to do that, I think is important as well.
Right. Yes. And that's, I think, a whole other conversation of just when, you know, minority figures have a platform, when mm-hmm. they get the chance for their voice to be heard, like, let's not narrow those stories. Let's yes. make sure those stories are, you know, are the real thing. Let's not only ask women about what it's like to be a mom, yeah. you know, like, 'cause yeah. we're so much more than that. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. I love that, and I think the world needs to see. So we're responsible for the next generation of men, and I know that I certainly want to do my best to constantly just inundate them with people doing amazing things, yeah. men and women.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I'm getting a little hot.
Talk to me.
okay.
So, Mama Bears, talk to us. Are you struggling with allergies? Do you see your kids struggling with them? What works for you? I know our community would love any other tips and tricks. Are you raising brave girls? How are you doing it? Or do you notice that you say be careful to your daughter far more than your son? There is no shame in that. Our culture has taught that in us, so we have to be very conscious of breaking that paradigm, right? So let us know on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, because Leslie and I are eager to hear from you and chat with you about it.
Absolutely. And let's finish with our Mama Bear Dare.
Yeah.
Mama Bears, today we encourage you to embrace the brave girl that you're raising, but also the one within yourself. She's maybe been told that she isn't as capable as the boys by subtle things like being constantly reminded to be careful, or by our culture trying to tell girls that it's cute to be afraid. Nope, we don't believe it anymore. Mm-hmm. Today, we encourage you to practice bravery in small tasks so that you are prepared, so that when the big tasks come up, that you will require astonishing bravery. Mama Bears, it may take us a while to unlearn some of the messages that have been told to us for so long, but we can do it together. So go ahead, get brave. Encourage your girlfriends to get brave too.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mama Bears.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your week.
Wash those sheets.
Wash the sheets. Wash the sheets. No, no.